Let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word. We invite you who are watching from home to join us in standing and participate in honoring the Word of God this evening. Zechariah chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shavat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, as follows. I saw at night, and behold, a man was riding a red horse. And he was standing among the myrtle trees, which were in the ravine, with red sorrel and white horses behind him. Then I said, My Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are. And the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, and said, We have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which you have been indignant these 70 years? The Lord answered the angel who was speaking with me with gracious words, comforting words. So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, Proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations who are at ease. For while I was only a little angry, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts. And a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Again, proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, My cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. Lord, tonight, as we begin the first vision of Zechariah, there are matters here and language here that is unusual to us. So, Spirit of God, help us as we look at this to see it in its context and understand, Lord, what is intended for us about your future blessing and restoration of Israel. All to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we come to chapter 1, verse 7 and beyond, chapter 1, verse 7, all the way through chapter 6, verse 8, you realize that Zechariah had 8 visions of the Lord in one night. Now that's quite a night, isn't it? 8 visions of the Lord in one night. So, verse 7, we see that night. It's the 24th day of the 11th month of Shavat in the second year of Darius. So it's still the same year as verse 1. So if we compute that date from the Hebrew calendar to our calendar, that night was February 14th, 519 BC. Quite a night. These were not visions or dreams like you would have. Zechariah had not had any bad anchovies on his pizza. He was not in some way reacting physically to anything. This is completely supernatural. This is, verse 7 says, the word of the Lord, Yahweh's word coming to Zechariah in visionary form. Now, this first vision, I've called it the man among the myrtles, and you can see that in verse 7. We'll get to it in just a moment. But this first vision, the man among the myrtles, is for the purpose of showing God's present anger with the nations, that is, those nations outside of Israel's land, God's present anger against the nations, as well as showing God's future blessings and restoration of Israel. So look for those things as we move through these verses. This first vision is comprised of 6 component parts, and that is how we will look at it as we proceed tonight. So, the first part, verse 8, what did Zechariah actually see? Verse 8, Zechariah says, I saw at night. Well, what did he see? He saw a man riding on a red horse. That man, in verse 11 and verse 12, will be identified as the angel of the Lord. That's important. We'll come back to it. So that man is the angel of the Lord. He's riding on a red horse. And he's standing among the myrtle trees. As we will proceed through this vision, you'll understand the myrtle trees are Israel. They represent Israel. These myrtle trees were in the ravine, and some have guessed that this might be the ravine of the Kidron Valley. We have no way of knowing that. Remember, this was a vision. What we do know is it was a ravine, and a ravine certainly represents a low point. So what is in this vision is a picture of a low point for Jerusalem and Judah. Following the rider, the man riding on the red horse, were red, sorrel, and white horses coming behind him. The red horse, and on the one hand, we want to be careful that we don't make this equivalent to what we read about in the book of Revelation. But on the other hand, we want to make sure that we don't distance it from what we read in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, what is clear there is the red horse symbolizes bloodshed and the wrath of God. There is a sorrel-colored horse in Revelation 6, verse 8, that represents death. And then there is a white horse, which we would see in Revelation 19:11 at the second coming of Jesus, the horse that is conquering. So it's not important to make these match what is in Revelation, but we do learn something from Revelation about what's going on with these horses. So this is what Zechariah saw: a man riding a red horse, standing among the myrtle trees that represents Israel, which were in a ravine at a low point in Israel's history, with a red horse, a sorrel horse, and a white horse following. Now that's what Zechariah saw. And we're glad for our understanding that what he saw in the vision wasn't the end of it. You know, he could have just received it, said, "That's what I saw, and that's what we would have." But verse 9, the beginning of verse 9, the second component part of this vision is how Zechariah responded. And Zechariah responded as I think we might have, by asking, "What are these? What are these? This man, these horses, this grove of myrtle trees, this ravine, what are these?" he asks. And when Zechariah asks this in verse 9, he asks it of an interpreting angel, referred to as, in verse 9, the angel who was speaking with me. The interpreting angel. And we noticed, perhaps, as we read through this tonight, there are two different angels in this vision. One of them is the interpreting angel in verse 9. You see the interpreting angel in verse 13, the angel who was speaking with me. You see the interpreting angel in verse 14, the angel who was speaking with me. There is also another angel in this passage, the angel of the Lord, whom we will meet in verse 11 and verse 12. Now, I think most of you here tonight, and likely most of you viewing in tonight, have heard me teach on the angel of the Lord before, and I won't spend a lot of time on that, except to remind us that when the definite article appears, so this is not just an angel of the Lord. This is not just an angel. This is the specific angel, the angel of the Lord. And when that definite article appears, and if this is new to you, just take the time to look that up in your Old Testament. And when you see the angel of the Lord, that is the second person of the triune God. That is Jesus Christ. So the angel of the Lord in this is a visionary appearance of Jesus to Zechariah in the Old Testament, well before the time of Christ. So you can observe that, but it's the interpreting angel that is going to begin to answer Zechariah's question. That brings us to the third component part, the rest of verse 9 on through verse 11. What was the angel explaining to Zechariah? What the angel explained. The end of verse 9, the interpreting angel told Zechariah that he would show Zechariah the interpretation. That's what he says. But the beginning of verse 10, it is not the interpreting angel who actually explained it. It is the man who is riding the horse and standing among the myrtle trees. Beginning of verse 10, the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said. Now that man is actually the angel of the Lord. He is Jesus. We could say he is the God-man, the Messiah, Jesus. The man, the God-man, actually explained this. And what he explained in verse 10 was, "These are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth." These horses, red and sorrel and white, are sent out to patrol the earth on behalf of Israel, on behalf of God's people. And they are patrolling, looking for war, looking for death, looking for conquering that is going on. But the riders of these horses, you see at the beginning of verse 11, they, the riders of these horses, answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, "We have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet." Now remember, they are sent to patrol the earth on behalf of Israel. So, this report, the earth is peaceful and quiet. You would think if beings like this, and perhaps they are angelic beings, angelic riders on these horses as well, you would think if they came back to Jesus and said, "The earth is peaceful and quiet," that sounds like a pretty good report, doesn't it? You know, it's night and all is well. It's peaceful and quiet, except for Israel, that is not good news. That means to Israel that these other surrounding nations are still dominating and nothing is upsetting them. So when you read, "The earth is peaceful and quiet," make sure you read that in the context of this vision. Don't read that in the context of your newspaper. Say, "Well, everything is peace and quiet. Everybody goes great." But Israel doesn't say great, because Israel wants to see Persia, remnants of Babylon. Israel wants to see them taken down. Israel doesn't want to see peace and quiet in those cases. So that is what is explained to Zechariah. Then the fourth component part of this vision, verse 12, what the angel of the Lord prayed. Now, this should be fascinating. It is prophetically fascinating. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord answered and said, and now the angel of the Lord is addressing whom? O Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, God of the angels. O God of the angels, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah with which you have been indignant these 70 years. The angel of the Lord is the second person of the triune God. The Lord of hosts is the first person of the triune God. So this is God the Son addressing God the Father in prayer in a vision of Zechariah in the Old Testament. This is intercessory prayer of Jesus for his people, Israel, in this case. The prayer is on behalf of Jerusalem and Judah, and this is the intercession of Christ for his people, although in visionary form. That should fascinate anyone who knows that Jesus, in his high priestly ministry today in this church age, ever lives to make intercession for his people. But that kind of ministry is a ministry which Jesus, as the second person of the triune God, has always had for his people, though the church wasn't there yet. So it's a very fascinating thing to see. And what Jesus is praying in verse 12 is, "How long, Father, Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion on Jerusalem and Judah? You've been indignant," that is, angry, "with them these 70 years. And the 70 years are ultimately counted from 586 BC to 516 BC, when the temple that's being worked on is actually completed and rebuilt, those 70 years. So we see this intercessory prayer of the angel of the Lord to the Father. Component number 5 in verse 13, God the Father responds to the prayer of God the Son. Now, how does God the Father respond? The beginning of verse 13, God the Father responds by addressing the interpreting angel who's going to relay this to Zechariah. The beginning of verse 13, Yahweh answered the angel who was speaking with me. The interpreting angel. And he answered the interpreting angel with gracious and comforting words. So these are the words of God the Father to the interpreting angel, which then in verses 14 through 17, which is our sixth and last component of this vision, these words are what the interpreting angel revealed to Zechariah. So verse 14, the angel who was speaking with me said to me, "Proclaim saying," and this is what the Lord had said to the angel of the Lord, and now being echoed through the interpreting angel to Zechariah. And here it is. The rest of verse 14. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. The Lord wants Zechariah and Israel and us to know that. Was Israel under her own rule by this point? No. They are still under Persian rule. But is that the way the Lord wants it? No, the Lord is very zealous for Jerusalem and Zion. The Lord wants Jerusalem. The Lord wants Zion for himself. Jerusalem is the Lord's city. Zion is the Lord's city. It is his habitation. His name is written there. And he wants it for himself. Verse 15. The Lord is very angry with the nations at ease who were troubling Israel. Surrounding nations all around giving Israel trouble. By the way, that statement is still true tonight. The Lord is angry with nations who would seek to do Israel harm and trouble Israel. Notice he says, when I was just a little bit angry with them, they made things worse. But he says, now I am very angry with them, so this is coming to an end, which ultimately it does. Then verse 16, the Lord promises, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. And he's going to return to ensure the rebuilding of the temple. Now the temple was finished in 516 BC. So after a little over 3 years, that is completed from the time of this vision. Notice the end of verse 16, this statement, a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Now the point, of course, of the measuring line is to measure. And ultimately, we realize that the size of the temple, the rebuilt temple, will not compare with the size of Solomon's temple. However, if you read Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, which talk about the rebuilt temple of Messiah in the millennial kingdom, you will realize that in the coming kingdom, the future temple will be even larger and more glorious. So, by measuring line, that is intimated here, and this would bring great hope to Zechariah and the people. Yes, we're building this temple, rebuilding it. No, it's not going to quite measure up, but Messiah will come, and that will be an even more glorious temple. So, in verse 16, when the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion, that is both in Zechariah's present for the rebuilding of the temple, and it is in Israel's future for the building of the millennial temple and the glory of the Lord. So that is revealed there. I don't think Zechariah would have understood quite as much about that as you and I can understand about it tonight. And then verse 17, the Lord says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the cities of Judah and Jerusalem will again overflow with prosperity. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah will be blessed. They will overflow with blessing, with prosperity, with comfort. And the Lord says he will again choose Jerusalem. And this choosing is a great statement of God's love for his people, Israel. So, Israel's had a difficult time, 70 years of captivity, returning, having trouble getting going, difficult time again. Later we'll have a difficult time building the walls. There will be enemies, but this vision is the Lord saying to Zechariah, do you know what? It's going to get done. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to protect you. Believe that the future of Jerusalem and the cities of Judah is a glorious future. So the principle is, even when we're facing adversaries, even when we're going through difficult times, God has a glorious future for his people. And they should continue to work and build and do what God has called them to do. So that is the first vision that gets this started. We'll continue with them next time as there are seven more to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this word. In visionary form, perhaps somewhat difficult for us to understand, and yet, Lord, when we read it in its own context and in the context of your word, we do see something of the intent of this vision. Thank you that Zechariah received it. Thank you that he recorded it and taught it and used it to encourage the people of Jerusalem. May that word encourage us this week now as we go and face whatever it is we must face in this week to come, with the certain knowledge that we have a glorious future that awaits us in you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.